trophies at last I laid down, and I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. And I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it some for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a
Hey.
I am 70 years old.
All right, guys, let's find a chair.
I've never coached before. You're my first coach. So I want you to know I'm ready. I don't know if it's best.
Dale, you're going to take notes. You're right here in front.
But I'm ready. Okay?
Jerry's going to be watching you. No falling asleep.
Ready.
Jerry's going to be sitting
do,
right
sir?
Here.
How do you like your coffee, sir?
Heckle him. Did you miss me tonight?
It's sore. I got permission to walk around without crutches, so.
I'm working for a living. Oh, yeah, I can't make everyone a leader's meeting.
Yeah.
No, I'm working to find a
I didn't tear anything up.
Paycheck.
I appreciate it. You know,
actually,
I.
Tomorrow's my. I go. Yeah, that's it. I get tired of her chasing me around the house all the time.
Oh, now.
Honey, do this. Honey, do that. See, you guys, your mind went right to the gutter. You guys went right to the gutter. That wasn't Alan Singer. All right, guys, let's find a chair. If we don't get started, we're never going to get out of here. All right. Hey, Coach. Well, Coach is talking. Well, listen, hey, guys, we got 2 more weeks left after this, right? We got Jude next week and sharing. For those of you guys that don't know what sharing week is we show up, we have pizza and soda, a lot of fellowship, and then an open mic. Guys grab the mic and talk about how the studies changed their lives. It's a pretty awesome night. You should be thinking about if you could add anything in because they are. It is pretty cool. So, and then the other thing, too, is if you've never been here before, a lot of the guys do summer studies. You know, the small groups themselves get together. So be on the lookout for that stuff. Get prepared. And you ready for the opening prayer? Ready to go?
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
I'm going to let you do it. Managing up.
Okay. All right. Welcome to CBS, Ben. My name's Jerry Leachman. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank you, and as always, we pray for that Pentecostal gift of hearing. You'd help us all hear what we need to hear for our life. In Christ's name, amen. Well, listen, I always like to help everybody learn the Bible and get closer to the Lord, but as you know, I minister to the whole man, just like Christ did. Now, I know a lot of you notice how well I dress all the time. I know. I see you looking. I mean, you probably, how do you like, now this visor, I designed this. You wonder why this is so high. That's actually like a foil on a race car. When I run full speed, I tend to get airborne, and this just holds me on the ground. You probably are sitting there thinking, it's amazing how my jacket matches my jeans. And, you know, this is what we call in the business a speaking ensemble. You know, you have to dress right if you want people to track with you. If you have kind of a theme going, people go, that guy's got a plan. He knows where he's going. My shoes don't match. You know, hey, thank you, Admiral. There's one guy. I just ask you. I love to ask the general and the admiral how do you like your coffee, sir? It's my way of torturing them. He was so funny. I asked him that last year. He said, man, I miss those days. We forgot to do something last week. A few days ago, the admiral was 87 years old. Why don't we stand up and sing happy birthday? Dear admiral, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear admiral. Happy birthday to you. Oh, yeah. He'll always be remembered in the Navy for his famous line, I'd hope to go with you men, but they need me here. No, that wouldn't have been him. Okay, I just wanted to give you those tips on dressing. Looking at some of you, I know you don't care, but some of you do. Some of you are going to be winners. Winners. It's all about not being a loser. Have y'all seen that commercial, Progressive Flo? When she walks in the locker room, tough day, huh, buddy? We like to be the lowest, but we can't always quote the lowest. And she kind of peps him up a little bit. She says, hey, pal, how about a cupcake? He said, with sprinkles? She goes, no, sprinkles are for winners. His head drops back down. So it's kind of become a saying with my buddy, you know. He'll say something to him and go, no, sprinkles are for winners. Would somebody get that memo out to Redskins Park, please? Jeez. Bud, you're well-dressed. You have an ensemble on. Jill's doing a good job with you. You look good. Bud, do you know who this is? This is Jerry. Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. What? Well, Bud, how old are you? Oh, okay, good. Way to go. Okay, trouble in the church, John 3. Beloved, Gaius is his name. Some people, okay, Gaius for some of you. Either way, we don't really know, but this is the good, bad, the ugly. This is a little book, and it's amazing. Next week we're going to do Jude, and we're back to Revelations, right back where we started. I mean, I was telling the guys, it's like the Kentucky Derby. You know, the horses cross the finish line. They're like, hey, we were just here, you know. John. Oh, it was? Well, why don't we get your skinny butt up here telling jokes next week? Is that funny? When you're tired of being treated nice, dial 1-800-LEACHMAN. How about that? No sprinkles for you. Yeah, the beloved Gaius. You know, this guy is very inspirational. I have some things to say about him. The beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. That's a big deal. These apostles, this is the age of apostolic leadership. You know, Christ said, I give you all authority to these guys. And he said, beloved, I pray you may prosper in all things and be in health. Now, to ask about a health is very typical in letters of antiquity. It was protocol. It was politeness and standard. But is this? I love the what he couples here, just as your soul prospers. Isn't that a wonderful image that somebody's soul would prosper? I was counseling a guy in the, can you turn this down just a little bit? Thank you, son. I was counseling a guy in the Silver Diner one time, and I heard somebody else, another counselor was in the next booth over there. I guess words got out that that's a counseling center over there in Reston. And I heard the guy open a session with his client. I don't have clients. I have friends and brothers, but he had clients. And he said, are you prospering? Are you managing? Or are you suffering? And I thought, that's a pretty good opener, you know, to get a guy to start a story, you know, and just right away, you know, kind of know where he is. Well, this is a wonderful prayer. Now, I often have men who fall in love with Christ, they're educated, and but they're novices, even though they're quite accomplished in the game of life and in business and in their careers. And they go, I don't know what to pray, I want to pray more. One of the first things I teach them, and I want to pass this along to you, is pray the scriptures. You know, there are several marvelous prayers by the Apostle Paul and John 17, Jesus himself. Now, sometimes I will kneel by my bed and lay the scriptures open to classic prayers from godly men in the Bible. Now, this is a little breath prayer you can pick up. A breath prayer is a prayer you can just pray in one breath. But what a great thing to say, Lord, I pray that Dale Matthews, Doc Matthews, I pray that he would be healthy again. He's had some, and that his soul would prosper. That's got to be right. That's right there in the Bible. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? And it's what I call praying the scriptures. There are wonderful prayers in Philippians, Ephesians, all through the epistles, if you want to thumb through and find some prayers. And you can just substitute the person, you know, who's on your heart and in your mind, just insert their name, and you can mold that prayer for them. Hospitality to the brethren and strangers, this is a big deal. How important do you think hospitality is to the Lord Jesus? Very. It's central, by the way. We were discussing this in leadership. To be hospitable is to be gracious to someone. You remember the blessing that God gave Moses to give to the priest to bless the people? May God be gracious unto you. Now, here's why this is hospitality is at the core of Jesus Christ in the gospel. What is the root word to the word graciousness? Grace. My wife Holly taught me this. She said, people who are gracious, people who extend graciousness to other people, that is an outward sign of an inward possession. When they just, their default is graciousness. And I have known some people like that, and they endear themselves to you. And I would say this, you know, there are sowers and there are reapers. And Billy Graham said, at the end of it all, we realized our stadium kind of ministry was really a ministry to believers. And the interviewer was astounded, like, what are you talking about? You share the gospel. People come forward and give their life. He said, I know. But how would Pontiac Stadium get filled up? You know, non-Christians wouldn't show up to hear the Thousand Voice Choir, George Beverly Shea sing How Great Thou Art. I mean, they're all okay, but that wouldn't be interesting. You know why they come? They did surveys. Why do you think people who would say, I wasn't a Christian before I went into Pontiac Stadium and I came out with a commitment to Christ, and they go, why did you come on the survey? What did like 85% of them put down? Because I was invited by a trusted friend. The rest were curious. The 15% were just curious. They wanted to see Billy Graham. So sowing, you know, sowing and reaping. In our culture, we exalt reapers. These are people who can get up and speak, and they're gifted, they're anointed, and they can close the deal. And we go, what a man of God. I'm convinced because I've done a lot of my share of reaping in my time speaking to all these groups, but I don't fill up conferences with men. They're invited by other people who've done sowing. I've decided after all these years, you know what takes way more effort? What's your guess? Sowing or reaping? Sowing. That can take years of cultivating friendships, extending graciousness, hospitality. I mean, hospitality is the net that everybody gets reeled into. If you sprinkle in some joy, joy. That's evidence of a grateful heart. Evidence of a grateful heart is we have somebody to be grateful to. The most gracious people are the most grateful people. They're compelled. Paul was asked, you've been cold, freezing, hungry, ill-fed, wear rags, you've been locked up, you've been beaten with rods 3 times, shipwrecked. Why do you do it? He answered in 1 sentence. I love people that aren't confused. He said, the love of Christ compels us to do it. I don't have to get up to do it. I can't not do it. I have to do it. I just love Christ. Sounds like Mary Magdalene, doesn't it? Hospitality is a big, big deal. And I think here's another thing I'd like to point out about Gaius. He wasn't a minister. He was a business guy. He was a layman. And the guy was legendary. Now, you know he was talking up Jesus, putting him on the scoreboard. But what gave him the credibility was his humble service. And he sent these Christians out pretty revved up. I mean, it says it. He said, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well. That's a nice compliment from an apostle, isn't it? They went forth in his name, taking nothing from the Gentiles. Now, I just wanted to mention this briefly. This was kind of the MO for Christians, and especially the Christians that were in ministry. They didn't take offerings from Gentiles. I always appreciate it when you go to a church, when they take the offering, they say, now look, if you're just a seeker, a visitor, don't even listen to this part. This doesn't apply to you. Don't worry about it. We're just glad you're here today. I like that touch. We all need to make sure that we support the ministry that feeds us. Your local church, local ministries that feed you. You may have a burden for something in Uganda or somewhere else. We support stuff like that. But just make sure you're supporting your local churches, you know. And then if you want to give more, and this is kind of, I made the mistake one time when I was just new at this. I was all into missions, and I was supporting a guy in Africa, and my best friend went into the ministry. And I said, I think I'm all pledged out, I regret it to this day. I should have just peeled back from that other guy and helped my buddy. He was ministering right in our neighborhood to our neighborhood kids. But I didn't know this. So that is part of what that verse about. A lot of theologians will take that when they talk about giving and so forth. Well, this guy had a wonderful ministry through hospitality. Second guy, Diotrephes. He was me first. You know, the formula according to Christ is God first, others second, you third. Now, there was a camp called Summer's Best 2 Weeks. You guys ever heard of that one? And our daughter won the I'm Third Award, and I didn't even know what it was till parent day, the last day. They picked the kid in the camp that demonstrated a servant's heart. And then Tucker won it. He went up to Ligonier to the overnight, 2 week overnight camp. That really kind of shocked us. And just because he had a peroxide, when we picked him up, his counselors came up to me and said, Mr. Leitzman, we just got to confess something. When y'all dropped Tucker off, we didn't think we were going to be alive 2 weeks later because he's bigger than we were and he was a kid. And he had a peroxide mohawk. You know, I mean, you try to raise your kids to be Christians, you got to give them something, you know. If you're going to take all those other hail-raising vices away, he said, I want to have a mohawk. And I want to have an earring. I said, okay, let's talk Mohawk, you know. It's the art of negotiation. I said, you can spike it, do anything you want when school's out. I don't care. He said, man, when that you dropped that kid off, we thought y'all were like social workers or something. You know, this guy just got out on work release or something. And so, but that would be the greatest award you could win. I just, of all the other things they've gotten. So that's the formula. Now, this fella rejects apostolic authority. That's not even close. John. You know, like I was joking with you last week when we started, I said, John wrote 5 books in the Bible. How many did you write? None. So listen up. He had an evil mouth. He not only rejected apostolic, he mocked, he discredited an apostle of God who spoke in God's behalf. And he was a tyrant. He kicked people out of the church if they didn't see it his way. Now, this happens today. You know, last year there was a guy out in Seattle that had to resign from this mega church. And they said, you know, he didn't commit adultery and steal things, and we didn't catch him watching pornography. He was just a bully, and he pushed people around, and he had a bad mouth, and you know that kind of thing, and it just destroyed the whole church. I mean, so there's really nothing new. And then the last guy, he had something that the Bible says is more to be valued than precious gold and silver. He had a good name. Now, men, if you want to set a goal, this is what you should be after in the race with Christ, a good name. Now, you can be wealthy and have a good name. You can be poor and have a good name. But all men who have good names, they've earned respect. And Paul said, honor to whom honor, respect to whom respect. The Bible said, a good name's rather to be desired than precious gold and silver. Now, we all have to be alert, because you can live in your entire life, walk in integrity and wisdom, and you screw up one really bad time. In Ecclesiastes verse 10, it says, like dead flies cause ointment to stink, so a little folly goes with a man given to wisdom. How many times have we seen people who otherwise have lived lives beyond reproach, integral lives, commendable lives, and they just really, really screw up one time, and it kind of destroys their name? Maybe you can get it back, but sometimes you never do. You know, you don't have to be a criminal or a drug addict. You can just go to a Christmas party and have a little too much wine, and you get behind that car wheel. And you're either in an accident or you get a DUI. It's in the Washington Post the next day. And there you go. I mean, I pleaded with my kids. Look, if you guys, I don't know what all you do when you go off. But if you do get in a deal where you drink too much, don't, please, just do it as a favor to the old man. I'll pay anything. Just get a driver, get anything. Don't do something like that. That one thing can impact your life for negative. And there are other things like that, indiscretions. So guys, stay awake. You know, Satan goes about like a roaring lion, 1 Peter chapter 5, trying to devour whoever he can. You know, lions, they've done studies on them. They go after the weak, and they go after the unattentive. Stay heads up. You can even pray for that. Lord, just don't let me sleepwalk. Just keep me alert. Protect me. Put a hedge of protection around me. Don't let me have a lifetime screw-up, even if it's a one-time terrible screw-up. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to motivate you. This is prudence. Let me go back, and I want to finish on a note of service here. You know, if our Lord was anything, I want to go back to Gaius. If our Lord was anything, he was a servant. You remember when the disciples were having an argument, and they said, look, Lord, we've worked out a deal. All we need to do is get you to sign right here. Just sign off on this. We've already agreed. When you come into your kingdom, James and John, he's on your right and I'm on your left. Now just sign right there. And Christ said, you guys are crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. Those places are already designated. And he said, can you drink the cup that I'm baptized with? And they said, yeah, we're able. There again, they had no idea what was about to happen. He said, well, one day you will drink it. And you'll be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand, that's not for me to give. See, that was just Demetrius. He was number one. He was preeminent. It was all about him. He had no fruits of the Spirit in his life. No servant's heart. He had no fear of God before his eyes to lie and discredit an apostle of God publicly and wouldn't receive him. Now, John said at the end of this letter, I think I'm going to pay your boy a visit. Ooh, don't you wish that there was a John 4 and we could get that? Now listen to the rest of this. And when the other 10 had heard it, they became greatly displeased with James and John. Jesus called them to himself. This is like, all right, time out. Come on, gather around, all up. You know that those that are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them. That was this guy. He didn't rule like a man of God. He ruled like a pagan. He said they lord it over. It's political power, military power, economic power. That's why when Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? And he turned around and walked off. There was no truth but the power of Rome to him. That's the truth. He said, you know the rulers, they lord it over them. There's a difference between leading and driving cattle. Their great ones exercise authority over them, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you. Now, I want you to notice, Jesus doesn't say it's a bad thing to desire to be a great man. When my boys were in elementary school, when they got to be about fifth or sixth grade, I would just stop, pull the car over to the side of the road where they would go, what's going on? Just to kind of put an emphasis on the event, and I'd just stare at their eyes and said, you're going to be a great man one of these days. God's told me. Then I'd look at him about five more seconds and put it and just drive off, you know, and then I'd peek over there and he'd just be looking out the window, you know. You want to give people around you a sense of destiny. He said, those who would become great among you shall be your servant. There it is. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all, last. For even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. One of the great speeches in any movie I've ever seen was that Mel Gibson speech, and We Were Young and We Were Soldiers. He said, I can't promise you that all of you will come home alive, but I can promise you all of you will come home. And I will promise you this, my boots will be the first one off that helicopter and the last boots on. That's the way of the Lord. First boots off, last boots on. And you know what happened? That literally came true. They went into an impossible battle. General Westmoreland kept wanting him to come back for like little political things. He said, I'm with my men. Tell the general to kiss off. That's the CBS version of that sentence. First boots off, last boots on. Servant's heart. What's the definition of a servant? That's someone who gets excited about making somebody else successful. That's right. They get excited about making somebody else successful. You see a man with a servant heart and the guy he's encouraging, he's been bringing along, he could win the Heisman Trophy and that guy'd stand there and feel like he won it. Doesn't even need to be known. His heart is full. His heart is flourishing. Here's our last scripture for tonight. And this puts a stake in the whole thing. Philippians 2, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is going inside the mind of Christ. Who being in the form of God didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation. He was voluntarily downwardly mobile. Taking on the form of a bondservant. Here's that servant thing again. And coming among a likeness of men, being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself. Now, don't ever pray for God, humble me. I was praying with a guy. I said, Lord, humble us. I go, oh, shut up. You don't want that. The scripture says, how are we to become humble? We have to humble ourselves. It's kind of an elusive thing to think about it. And then how do you know if you're humble? You can't say, well, I'm there. I'm humble. No, I counseled a guy back at the Silver Diner. I didn't know him. I said, tell me your story. He said, well, coach, I've always been a humble person. I'm like, oh, my gosh. This is going to take all my powers to turn this dude around. You know my little joke about the preacher. They gave him a badge for his humility and took it away. He wore it to church 3 Sundays in a row. Made himself of no reputation, but he humbled himself and came obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. I want to read you this note I got today, and then we're going to have a prayer time. This is payday for me. You go, you're bragging. No, I'm not. This is praise. This is thanksgiving. This is what we live for. I want you to say tonight, I want to become a servant and I want to receive letters like this. This is from a guy that played quarterback for me. I don't even know how long ago. Was John Donaldson in your class? Well, how old are you? I coached my first job out of Alabama. I was a head coach at Briarwood High School. He was one of my students, Dave Mayo, right there. He drives down from Maryland to CBS every week. So how old are you? Do you know? Did you cheat through school? 56. So Richard's probably 57 or so. He played quarterback for me. I got this today. Hey, coach, all is well. I love it when they still call me coach. They'll always be your boys, won't they? He said, my mom's selling her house after 46 years, and that means a lot of cleanup. That led to a box with my old journals. Guys don't do diaries. We journal in a manly way. You're mentioned a lot. Thought you'd like this excerpt, November 6, 1974. Tonight, me and one of my teammates, Richard Cowart, and Coach Leachman and Coach McKenzie, went to see the Americans beat the Philadelphia Bell 26-22. What was that pro league? The American Football League. It was a pretty good game, and they had a super cool fight out on the field. In the first quarter, I had a great time being with those guys too. Man, listening to Coach Leachman talk, you could see he had a tremendous burden to walk like Christ, not the spiritual walk with Christ people say they have, but a true and deep walk. It made me think about my pitiful Christianity. I love the Lord, but I think I'm kind of pitiful. I got to learn to lay it on the line. Thanks for being that guy at a critical time for me, Coach. Reading about my summer in the fall of my senior year, I was clearly consumed with angst about girls and playing quarterback, probably in that order. John Donaldson. Now let me ask you something as we close, and we're going to have a little prayer time together. I'm serious. This is not rhetorical. Some of you may be wealthy men, maybe some of you are in the middle, and some of you don't know how you're going to get next month's car payment together. How much could you pay me for that letter? Honest to God, there's no price you could give me for it. Don't you want $1 million? No, I'm fine. I wouldn't take any money for that letter. And I live to receive letters like that. That's payday. And what did I do? Was I brilliant? Did I do something smart? Did I do something cunning? Just love this kid the way others love me. I was imitating. You know, he says, don't imitate what's evil. Imitate what's good. Is it right to imitate? Yes. And I was simply imitating people who love me. That's about all I knew. I could coach football and just love kids for Christ. I didn't know a whole lot in those days, but it seemed to be enough. Now, I want to have a prayer time. It's 5 after. We'll dismiss at 10 after because this song's exactly 5 minutes long. Just I want you to relax. Don't leave early. Spend 5 more minutes. We're going to enter the presence of the Lord. I'm going to have the guys play a song by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. I want you to just let this song fill your soul and let your song flourish, your soul flourish a little more right now than it was flourishing when you walked in here. Let God remind you how much he loves you and how dear you are to him and how he has served you. So just dim the lights a little bit, fellas, and we're going to have the words to this song. It's just one long prayer. Let it speak to your heart. Don't daydream. Just try to make the most out of these 5 minutes and let your soul just be replenished tonight. This is Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir.
Mercy I don't deserve.